Well, what time is it? What time is it? What is meant by that question? You hear it all the time. What time is it? What's meant by that question? Is it, oh, it is 10:46. Is it a chronological question? Is that what you mean when you ask, what time is it? Look at your watch and tell me the time. Well, sometimes that's what it means. But other times, when we ask the question, what time is it? We might say, it's time to eat. Or what time is it? It's time to dance. It's time to play. It's time to sing. What time is it? So we can ask it in those two different ways. Now, time is a creation of God. He sits, the one who stretched out the heavens, the one who created all the starry host and knows every one of them by name, the billions and billions of stars. He sits enthroned above and beyond time. He made it. He's beyond it. It's His creation. He is eternal in Himself. You think about the question. This is interesting. Will anybody ask it? What time is it? Will anybody ask that question in heaven or in hell? Is the question asked, what time is it? Those are places of eternity. What time is it? Well, how are you with this concept of time, this creation that God has given us of time? How are you with it? Are you comfortable with it? Are you good at keeping it? Do you manage it well? How do you do with this creation of time? I love this definition of success. Success is to know God's will and do it. That's the best definition I can think of true success. To know God's will and then do it. Now, there's a recipe for success. There's a recipe for knowing God's will and doing it. Here's the recipe for success. Number one, step one, know what God wants you to do. Step two, know when He wants you to do it. Step three, do it the best that it can be done. And then step four, do it that way every time. Now, what we want to deal with here this morning is that step two in success. Step one, we need to know what God wants us to do. But step two, we need to know when He wants us to do it. And that's where we want to zone in today. What time is it? Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And if you open your Bible, and if you're new at this, if you open it in the middle, you'll be right about there in Ecclesiastes. If you're seeing Psalms or Proverbs, just turn to the right a little bit. It'll be right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Listen to what God teaches us here about time. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before. And God will call the past to account. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we just want to hear from you. Lord, speak to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for what you're going to speak this morning. Lord, open our spiritual ears and spiritual eyes that we may see and hear you. Lord, get me out of the way. I don't want to mess this up. Speak through me. Get me out of the way. Let us hear your message. And we thank you for it. And Lord, let us take it and do it. Let us leave this place doing what you've told us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how can I be the best possible manager of the time that God has entrusted to me? You might want to ask that question. You might want to ask that this morning. Lord, how can I be the best manager of the time you've entrusted to me? Well, the first way we see that we can do that is by knowing there is a time for everything. And I want to take the word time just to, in an effort to help you remember. We'll take T-I-M-E. And our T stands for knowing there is a time for everything. To manage the time that God has entrusted me with, I need to know there's a time for everything. Look at verse 1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There is a certain time that God has ordained for everything. A particular time for everything. Everything you do, say, or think, there's a time that God has ordained for it. A particular time. Jesus often said, he often made the statement, "My time has not yet come." What was he saying? It was usually in response to somebody telling him to do something or asking him to do something. In John chapter 2, his mom said, "They're out of wine at the wedding. Lord, do something," or "Jesus, do something." And he looked at his mother and he said, "My time has not yet come." And then the time did come a little bit later than that. And then one time his brothers were going down to Jerusalem for the feasts, and Jesus had stayed back, and they said, "Hey, you know, anybody who wants to be a public figure, you know, they need to go down there, and you need to be going, you need to be getting out of here." I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he said, "My time has not yet come." He said, "For you, any time is right. My time has not yet come." I believe he was saying, you know, "Hey, the way you're living, you know, that's what it sounded like. He was saying, you just do any time's right for you." Jesus was in tune with the Father. He did things at the right time. He did it when the time was right. So sometimes he would say, "My time has not yet come." There is a time for everything. And you know, every day that you wake up, you know, every day that God blesses you with another gift of a day. Every day he gives you some breath and he allows you to be on the earth another day. Do you know that there is enough time in that day to do everything that God wants you to do? That's so hard for me because there's so much more I want to do. Do you ever make the statement, "There's not enough time in the day. I don't have enough time to get it done. I don't have enough time for that." You ever feel that way? I feel that way all the time. But you know, the truth is, there's always enough time in the day to do what God wants you to do. That's the key. A lot of the stuff, I've probably, on any given day, you know, you may wake up and think, "Oh my goodness, I've got 75 things I need to get done today." But then you pray. If you go to that prayer closet, you spend time with the Lord, you come out of there and maybe you find out, "Oh, there's only 10 I have to do today." There's enough time to do what God wants you to do. You don't have any, no more time. You can't do any more and you can't do any less than what God wants you to do. There is a time for everything. And you know, it's not every need that's out there. Jesus didn't heal everyone. There were times that it was time for him to go somewhere else. In Mark chapter 1, you'll find out everybody was trying to get him to go to this house. There's a lot of needs there. People need to be healed. He had been healing at that house all night the night before. And people were saying, Lord, you need to come back. There's more people that need to be healed. But he didn't go where the needs were. He didn't go and heal them, because he was spending time with the Father early in the morning before, while it was still dark. And I guess he got that word from the Father, you need to go on to the next town. You need to go somewhere else. And so he told him, well, actually, it's time for me to go over here. There is a time for everything. How can I be the best manager of the time you've entrusted to me, God? First, by knowing there is a time for everything. Secondly, by identifying my own examples. There's your I. By identifying my own examples. Now, God gives us all kinds of examples here. He tells us there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. And then he just gives us example after example in verses 2 through 8. One after another. There's a time for this and a time for that. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. Well, to be the best manager of the time you've entrusted me with, Lord, I not only need to know that there's a time for everything, but I need to identify my own examples. I need to think, what do I need? What is it time for in my life? There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. What are my examples? What is it in my life? If we want to be a good manager, you need to identify your own examples. What is it for you? I don't know what it is for you. You get up, you go to the Lord, you find out what it is for you. Maybe it's, for me, maybe it's a time to clean out the garage. There's a time to clean out the garage. Maybe it's that time for you. There's a time to heal a broken relationship. Maybe it's that time for you. Identify your own examples. What time is it for you? You fill in the blank. Say it right now in your own mind. You think about it. Ask the Lord. God, it's time. It's a time to what? For you. What is it for you? What is it time for? You fill in the blank. A time to whatever. And it's also a time to, you fill in that other blank. What are your examples? Identify your own examples. And next, to be the best manager of the time that He's entrusted you with, know that there's a time for everything. Identify your own examples. And then know that He's made all of them beautiful in their time. Whatever it is, whatever your examples are in your life, well, it's time for me to do this. It's time for there's a time for this. There's a time for this. Whatever your examples are, the things that God is calling you to, the things that it's time for in your life, whatever those are, know that He has made, there's your M, He's made every one of them beautiful in their time. Whatever your next task is, whatever it's time for, He's made it beautiful in its time. Now there's the key phrase there, in its time. God has made, as verse 11 tells us, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Now, in the our phrase there, in its time, well, what does that mean? Well, whatever it's time for in your life, you know, God says that there's a time for everything. So you have this one thing here, and it's time for that, and there's a time for it. And God says everything is beautiful in its time. So God has a certain unique special time. There's some sand in here. I don't know if you can see it from here. This is an hourglass. But in its time. So there's an amount of time. There's this window for that thing. And God has that unique time. And it's right now. It's during that time. And that's the time, that's the window for whatever it is. And this is where it's beautiful. When you do it in its time, God makes it beautiful because that's the time He ordained for it. Now, if I do it before its time, it's not beautiful. If I do it after its time, it's not beautiful. This is the appointed time. Once this sand is out, if I then decide, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it, it's not beautiful anymore. God has made everything beautiful in its time, the time He's ordained for it. Outside of its time, it is ugly. It looks ugly, and there are so many examples of this. Think about a sermon. There is a certain amount of time that God has ordained for a sermon. He wants the sermon a certain amount of time. And what happens when we take the sermon out of that time? What happens when I or anybody else goes too long and drags it out long and long? All of a sudden, it may have been beautiful, but all of a sudden it's ugly now. It's not beautiful anymore. Same with a Bible study lesson. Maybe you're teaching a Bible study lesson. I knew of a young lady that in a past church that I was in, and she wanted to go to this Bible study, went to this Bible study, and the teacher was great. Fantastic teacher. I mean, I loved listening to this lady teach. But the lady would teach the Bible study, and she had said, here's the Bible study. You know, it's this long, hour and 15 minutes, you know, on certain morning, Tuesday morning of the week or whatever. And that was how it was advertised. So I knew this young lady that went to it. And, of course, she would love it until the time was up. But the great Bible teacher just had a habit of going long time after. Like she'd go another 30, 45 minutes after the time. And this young lady, you know, had children and, you know, she had to get people places and things like that. And so, you know, something that was beautiful just became ugly. And she couldn't even go anymore. The young lady couldn't go. Example after example. What about a visit? You go to visit somebody. There's a time that's beautiful that God has ordained for that visit. But maybe you stay too long and it becomes ugly. Or you don't stay long enough. There's a time, example after example. His timing is beautiful. You think about it. Even think about a football game. What if the clock ran down and there was like 2 seconds left and 2-1 and... And then actually the time was up, but they went ahead and snapped the ball and they went and they pulled off this play and they threw this 35-yard pass and then he ran it and broke all these tackles, touchdown, and oh, everybody was so excited. It's so beautiful. And then, but you know what? It wasn't done in its time. And they go back and they look and they say, oh my goodness, that was after the clock had run out. Something beautiful, now it turns into something ugly. Jesus noticed this. You'll remember from the gospel accounts that right before he went to clear the temple, he knew those things. This was a house of prayer, and they had made it a den of robbers. And in at least one of the gospel accounts, he goes and you see that he sees all this going on in the temple area, and it says, but it was too late. And so he went on home that night, and he came back in the morning. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right time. Jesus had this sense of timing. God tells us in the book of James that whoever knows the good he ought to do and does not do it, sins. We need to keep that in mind. There's many proverbs that talk about this, that the one who plows in season, he who plows in season, that's a good thing. But whoever sleeps during the plowing time, at harvest time, they'll look and they won't find anything. So God is saying there's this special time of plowing. And if you wait and you miss that time, then the harvest time will come and you won't have anything. But God has ordained a special time. There's a time that's beautiful, everything. If we do it right then, it's good. It'll work. By knowing, He makes everything beautiful in His time. So, how can I be the best manager of the time that He has entrusted me with? I need to know there's a time for everything. I need to identify my own examples, whatever they are. Then I need to know that each of those examples, each of the things in my life, He has made, is your M. He's made each of those beautiful in their time. But there's that special time for Him. And finally, we need to enjoy, is the E. You need to enjoy His guidance. Enjoy His guidance. God tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So God tells us in Ephesians 5 to be very careful. He didn't even say be careful. He said be very careful how you live. He wants us to live wisely. Make the most of every opportunity. The days are evil. God's saying that if we don't plan the time, if we don't seek the Lord out and find out, well, what is His will? He says we're foolish in that passage. It's foolish to do that. Just to kind of live life, do the next thing, whatever, go with the flow, go whatever happens next. God says that that's foolish. But He says, instead, make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time. Pay a high price to set the time free. Because God says if you just kind of live, let things go, the natural way is to evil. The world, the flesh, the devil. But if we take the time and we say, God, what do You want? Then all of a sudden, we can receive His will. And the time won't be used for the world, the flesh, and the devil. It'll be used for His will. So we need to enjoy His guidance. Eternity. I wonder if part of the reason that we struggle so much with time, we're always amazed at it. We always say things like, wow, the time has just flown. I can't believe the time has passed by so quickly. I can't believe how fast the children have grown. We're never comfortable with time. And I wonder if part of that reason is because, verse 11, God has put eternity in the hearts of men. We weren't made to live in time. We were made to live eternally with God, to have a relationship with Him for all eternity. When God created Adam and Eve in the garden, they could just eternally be with Him, but they sinned. And now there's this state of the fallen world, and now there's death. And now we have a certain amount of time on the earth. God tells us, many are the plans, in Proverbs, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We need to do what Galatians 5 tells us, and to keep in step with the Spirit. That's how we do it. Enjoy His guidance. How do we do it? Keep in step with His Spirit. Follow Jesus, your guide. There's a something I kind of like to pray through each day, and that's, God, give me your guidance. And these are all P's, but you could do this when you're seeking His guidance. God, give me your vision. What do you want today? What do you see today? What do you want done today? So pray, first of all. And then plan. Pray. Okay, God, okay, you know, I see this in my spirit. I believe, you know, you want me to do this today. You want me to do this. Well, plan. Well, okay, you know, I could do this here, Lord. I want to do it in your time, Lord. Show me how to do this. Plan. And then, you know, God says, pray that He'll send workers into the harvest fields. You know, maybe there's others that'll help you. Others that'll help you. Pick others that'll help you to do these things that God wants you to do on any particular day. And then, don't get too hooked on the plan, but follow the person. It's great to have the plan. I believe God wants us to do some planning and all that. And He wants us to follow the plan that He's given. But we always need to stay focused on the person of Jesus. Because oftentimes He's going to pull us off of that plan. And there's going to be an interruption or something's going to happen. He's going to take us another way that we weren't expecting. And that's what He's talking about when He says that many are the plans in a man's heart. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Well, let's pray together. And let's pray over these things. Lord, how can I be the best manager of the time that You've entrusted me with? By knowing there's a time for everything, identifying my own examples, And then knowing that each of those examples, God has made them beautiful in their time. And then I need to enjoy His guidance. I need to enjoy following Him in those examples, in the way He leads. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for this time together. Lord, we ask that You would teach us, that You would help us. Lord, show us. Lord, show us Your timing in every matter. Show us what needs to be done and when it needs to be done. And let us keep in step with You, not fall behind, not get ahead, but follow in Your steps, Jesus. Help us in these things. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. Well, what time is it for you? Maybe it's time for you to join this church, and you know that. Well, do whatever the Lord tells you. If it's time, it's beautiful in its time, then you step out of that aisle and you come down here as Mike's going to come and lead us in an invitation hymn. And if it's time, then you come. Maybe it's time for you to come to Jesus. Maybe it's time for you to stop playing games of religion, being religious, doing a lot of good things, going to religious services, doing things. But maybe it's time for you to have a relationship. And you want to know Jesus personally, then you come. Then you come. Whatever decision you need to make, maybe it's time for you to pray. Pray at your seat, or if you want to come up here and pray at the altar as Mike leads us, you can do that. But whatever you need to do, you do it. I'll be here at the front to receive you.